Let's take the Word of God and turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in just a moment in verse number 16. This is lesson number 8 on the series, Be Ye Holy, and the title of the lesson is Servants to God. Now remember that Romans 6 has been a focus on the new life of the believer who has been justified by faith. We read that in verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And so the person who has the imputed righteousness of God is now walking in a new life, in newness of life. The new life is made possible through the abounding grace of God. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. And furthermore, in this newness of life, the believer is free to yield his members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The believer has been brought into a new position before salvation. Man could not cease from sin. But now that a man is justified by faith, he is under grace, he is free from sin. Before salvation, he was free from righteousness. Now he is free from sin. And the law can no longer condemn the man who is in Christ Jesus. We will see that in Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So no condemnation to who? To those who are in Christ. But this whole doctrine has been misrepresented and misunderstood, as we've talked about in the last several lessons. People say, we are free from the law. We're not under the law, we're under grace, and so we can dismiss the law. God is not interested in rules. And the philosophy of the day, that is really a new philosophy that has crept into the church in the last 50 years, is, well, all that matters is that you love God, but love God and live as you please. That's the philosophy. That philosophy is ungodly, it is unbiblical. And we are here to assert that God desires for His people to live a holy life. And I say that living a holy life is not something it's not just about relationship, it is also about rules. There is an evidence in our lives. We can't just claim, right, I love God, I love God, I love God, and there be no evidence in our lives. Such a philosophy is unbiblical. And so Paul is confronting this idea that someone would ask, oh, we're saved by grace, so that means the law is thrown out, rules don't matter, and you can kind of live as you please. And Paul is seeking to prove that if that is your position, that you have not understood salvation at all. Now we pick up in verse number 16 and notice what he says. Romans 6:16, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now we find a clear emphasis in those verses that we read. There's a word that keeps coming over and over again, and it will be the emphasis of this lesson. And that is the word servants. Verse 16, notice the first example. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, here it is, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Go down to verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity before we were saved, even so now that you're saved, yield your members servants to righteousness unto uncleanness. Let's look at one more reference, verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God. So there's a clear emphasis in those verses upon servants and hence upon the word service. Verse 16, we've become servants to obey. Verse 18, servants of righteousness. Verse 19, servants to righteousness. Verse 22, servants to God. And so I would like to bring your attention to the expression in verse 22, which is the title of the lesson, servants to God. We have become servants to God. In other words, salvation so transforms a man's life that he goes from being a servant of sin, as we see in verse 17, to becoming a servant to God. And by implication, the man who is a servant to God is a servant of righteousness. Twice the word is used in these verses that I read, the word became or become. Notice verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's an important word because we are talking here about our sanctification. We are talking about what the believer has become. We're not trying to become servants. We have become servants of God. Do you see how that flies in the face of the philosophy that says, oh, you're saved by grace, that means you can live as you please? No, we don't live as we please. We become something else. Before we were saved, we could not cease from sin. But now that we are saved, we have become servants to God, servants to righteousness. He goes on in verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, and be here it is again, become servants to God. So, we are addressing here in this chapter what we have become as believers, what we have become in Christ. And this is very important if we're going to talk about being holy and living a holy life in the sight of God. We have to establish this truth that this is possible because we have become something that we were not before. We were under sin, we were the servants of sin, now we are the servants to God. Now there are three truths that I would like to emphasize here in this lesson. As we consider this idea, again, we're looking at living a holy life, and we're considering this truth that we have become, here it is, servants to God. The first thing I would like for you to notice is in your notes, Roman numeral 1, is the purpose for yielding. Now, we've already dealt with the truth about yielding in verse number 13. If you remember, let's go there. The Bible says here, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we've already looked at the word yielding, emphasized in verse number 13. But now the word yield is mentioned again, picked up in verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now the word yield, again, used here in verse 16, was previously introduced in verse number 13, and there are two words this time that follow it in verse number 16. Again, verse 13, yield your members as instruments of righteousness. But now we see two words added to the word yield, and that is yield yourselves in verse 16, servants to obey. So the two words that are added is the word servants and then the word obey. Now, we have already defined the word yield to mean the following. Someone who is yielding is someone who is putting himself at the disposal of another. It is someone who is fulfilling the demands of another. The word yield properly means to stand beside, to aid, to assist, and we are not to put ourselves, in other words, at the disposal of unrighteousness unto sin, but we are to put ourselves at the disposal of God. To add to our understanding of the word yielding, we can think about the word offer myself to. So therefore, yielding implies a willingness not just to obey negatively, but to serve positively. And here is where I believe this important, this word is important, the word servants, because it is connected to a particular service. To obeying, a servant is not one who just obeys negatively, it is someone who serves positively. Now, in the negative sense of yielding, we think about it this way, right? We say, well, let's not, don't worship idols, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't bear false witness, don't, there's many things that we could say, don't do this is unrighteousness, this is sin, and so we are not to yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's the negative sense of yielding. The negative aspect is clear. I think when we think when we ourselves think about living a holy life, we tend to think about the negative aspect. And we may think to ourselves, well, look, Pastor, I'm holy because I don't do this. And then we put forth a list of things that we do not do. However, we often neglect the positive aspect of yielding. Now remember, there are sins. If we go back to the first lesson, there are sins of commission and there are also sins of omission. Yes, sin is the transgression of the law, according to 1 John 3:4. But we also understand that sin is the omission of doing good, according to James 4:17. So sin is the bad that has been done. But sin is also found just as much in the good that has not been done. We use Jesus Christ as our example. We're talking about living a holy life, and we define holiness as this, being like Christ. And if we look at the life of Christ, it is not just that Christ was without sin, but the Bible makes it clear that He went about doing good. There was no sin in Him, but yet everything He did was good. So, we are to yield ourselves, servants, to obey. That means that the servants always perform a service. Pastor Tom Brennan, in his book, Freed from Sin, he put it this way. He says, as a child of God, I am free from sin. I can and ought to choose to yield my tongue to the Lord. That involves refraining from yielding my tongue to the Lord. That involves refraining from yielding to the desires of the flesh, swearing, gossip, lying, flattery, and dirty jokes. It also involves yielding to God's desires in my life. So, we could say, right, let me pause here, we could say that the negative yielding is don't swear, don't gossip, don't lie, don't flatter, don't tell dirty jokes, but we have to yield ourselves servants to God to do what? And he mentions here, praising the Lord, encouraging those around us, singing for His glory and witnessing to the lost. That's a positive yielding. This yielding on my part does not just refuse to use the use of my members to do the devil's will or the will of my flesh. It actively offers them to God for the performance of His work. What is holiness? Yes, by now we know the answer. I'm sure holiness is being like God. This involves not just avoiding what God does not want me to do, but it also includes doing what God does want me to do. And I hope that we really pay close attention to this. This is so important and so vital for our lives. It's not just, well, Pastor, I'm holy because I don't do this. No. Are there some things that you are omitting doing that you know you ought to be doing? Are you a servant of God? What is your service? You see, the process of sanctification is not just negative. We must stop thinking about the Christian life as, oh, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this. No, separation and avoidance are not enough. There must be a yielding to active use in God's service. And if our concept of holiness does not include this aspect, then, and if it just becomes kind of this negative position, we will find ourselves failing miserably in the Christian life. I've heard this growing up quite a bit. The Christian life is not just about what we take out of it, it's about what we put into it. And so here, when we're thinking about living a holy life, it is about yielding ourselves servants to obey. And so we think about this first point here. What is the purpose of yielding? The purpose of yielding is for service. There is something the Lord desires for us to do. But we come to the second point, and that is the, not only do we see the purpose of yielding for service, but secondly, the priority of yielding. And I want to bring your attention to verse 17. The Bible says, "But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So notice here, we were, verse 17, the servants of sin. But, here's the but, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, and ye became the servants of righteousness. So, we must yield ourselves, we understand servants to obey, but we must also add to our obedience here, or bring our attention to our obedience must be from the heart. You see, there is always a great danger in all of our lives as we consider the subject of holiness. We can't fall into the trap or be deceived by emphasizing a external conformity without emphasizing and understanding the internal transformation that is needed in the life of the believer. Because if we are not careful, we may think something like this: well, look, I do this, therefore I am holy. I have this outward conformity. I don't listen to this, and I don't go to these places, and I dress like this, and I don't wear this. And we could think about holiness just in terms of rules. That is how the Pharisees looked at holiness. They thought of, out of all people, they were most holy, and the truth is, they were not at all. Why? There was just an outward conformity, no inward transformation. If we go to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we're familiar with those two verses, but he points to something very important. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, he says in verse 1, right, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which means it's going to be holy, and that is what is acceptable unto God. But he says that if we are going to do that, we cannot be conformed to the world, be molded and shaped into the image of the world, but we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when that happens, we will prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So understand here that we're not talking about here, this is the rules, this living a holy life is rules. No, it's not. Living a holy life begins with an inward transformation, our heart, understanding what God requires of us. 1 Samuel 16:7, we're familiar with that verse. "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." We tend to really emphasize the outward conformity, the outward show before men, while our primary concern, if we are going to live a holy life, is for our hearts to be transformed, our minds to be transformed into the image of the dear Son of God. You see, holiness, if we think about what is holiness, holiness is something that happens internally and that eventually works its way outward as to be visible. We're not discounting the visible. We're not ignoring it. We're not saying it's not important. The public side of Christianity is important. We have to have a reputation in the world. We have to be blameless in the world. We have to shine as lights in the world so that the world may glorify our Father. There is an outward testimony that is important in the Christian life. But holiness is something that is first inward. You see, we can enforce certain rules, but obedience to those rules in itself is not holiness. Contrary to a popular opinion, rules in our religion are not bad. They are not. But neither does their strict observation equate to our holiness. I like this quote. Rules are not holiness. Holiness is being like Christ. And that must spring from the heart of man. In other words, as I live my life, I must not think to myself, well, I'm going to do those rules because I want to appear to the world that I'm holy. No, I want to do those rules because that pleases God. There's a different agenda. Do we see that? Do we see the difference? If you do what you do because you want to impress men, then you're not living a holy life. But if you're doing what you're doing out of a desire to please God, then that is living a holy life. It does not come from you. It comes from an inward transformation brought about by the Lord. Perhaps that is why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You see, by God's grace, we ought to develop a public reputation for purity, but the outward obedience must be an expression of the heart obedience if our path of sanctification is going to be a real one. And so may the Lord help us to consider the priority of yielding. It must be from the heart. But I want us to consider lastly, and that is the product of yielding. I want you to notice with me verse number 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness." For when, notice here verse 20, 21, and 22. "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Now I want you to notice here, because we see the product of this yielding. If we yield ourselves servants to God, servants to righteousness, and if we do that from the heart through an inward transformation, which will manifest itself outwardly, what is going to be the product, the visible aspect, right, of this yielding? What's going to happen if we are the servants of God? Well, there's going to be fruit. You see, it is the positive obedience from the heart that brings about fruit, according to what we read here, unto holiness. Now, if you go back to verse number 21, remember what he said. He says, "What fruit had ye then?" Now, the "then" refers back to the previous verse in verse number 20. "For when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then?" What's the "then"? When we were the servants of sin. So when we were the servants of sin, when we were in that position before our salvation, in that position we could say we were free from righteousness. He says, the fruit that we had then, we're ashamed of that. Whatever came out of that life, right, because we were under sin, there's nothing else we could do, we're ashamed of those things now. We don't even know that the end of those things is death. Now, why does he say that? Well, because in verse number 19, remember, he says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh." The truth is, we are still in the flesh. There's still a battle going on. He says, "For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now." So he's talking here about what was before and what is now. So before, we were yielding ourselves, our members, servants, to uncleanness. And what did that mean? We went from iniquity unto iniquity. That was the only thing that was possible. You see, we were yielding our members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity. This means that we could only go, there was no other option but to go from iniquity to iniquity. Before we were saved, we could only go from iniquity to iniquity. We could not go from iniquity to righteousness or from iniquity to holiness. That is described as, before we were saved, verse 20, we were free from righteousness. verse 22. Here it is. But now. Now we are in a new position in Christ. Now we have become the servants of God. We are dead in Christ. We are walking in newness of life. So what does that mean practically in our lives? But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, here it is, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Why? Because now we can yield our members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You see, Before we were saved, we went from iniquity to iniquity, and that was the only thing possible. But now that we've become the servants of God, now we can go from iniquity to holiness. And we can go from holiness to holiness, from righteousness to righteousness, from glory to glory. You see the difference here? The Bible says here, now ye have your fruit unto holiness. Why? Because we become the servants of God in this new position. That is an inward transformation. The product on the outward is holiness. I think we understand that that is not of men. It is of God. And so as we sum up here this idea, we are in this new position. What a wonderful truth. We have become the servants to God. But as we're talking about living a holy life, we have to understand that it is a positive yielding, not just a negative yielding. And the purpose of yielding is for service. We must serve the Lord. And we also see the priority of yielding. It must be from our heart. An inward transformation that manifests itself outwardly, that we not focus on the outward, but we focus on the heart, that yet not go on to the ungodly philosophy that says, well, you're all that matters is your heart. You know, the parent that says, my son or my daughter, they're not living right, but all that matters is that they love the Lord. No, they are not living right because they do not love the Lord. We have to do away with that ungodly philosophy. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. How foolish to think that someone who does not heed to what Jesus says is living a life that's pleasing to him and that love the Lord. You can sing all you want, how I love Jesus, but if you don't live a life that's pleasing to him, you don't love him. And we know that the product of yielding is always to bring forth fruit. And the Bible makes it very clear in Romans chapter number 6 that it's fruit unto holiness. And by the way, we find that holiness is wrought in God. It is not anything that we come and we do of ourselves. And so you see, as we look at that first question in chapter Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In the strongest terms, Paul says that is not true. Sin does not abound where grace abounds. Why? I tell you why. Because we have become something that we were not before. We are free from sin. We are free to yield ourselves and our instruments, our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, because we've become something else. And so may the Lord help us to understand this truth as not just a negative yielding, but a positive. We are servants to God. That's what we've become. And so let us walk and live as the servants of God. Let's pray.